All right. It is your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. And you know she get it from her mama. The body right, the mind right, intellect right, and my bag is right. Okay, okay. And people be mad. I have missed y'all so much, and I am so happy to be in the house, and I'm exhausted in the house. I think, like, I'm always exhausted, so y'all probably used to me saying that, but I'm still super excited to be here. Luke, I have missed one of my favorite white producers, Luke.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I probably got that wrong. You're probably my only favorite white producer, Luke.
All right, there we go.
How are you feeling today, Luke?
I'm doing well. It's been a busy week getting ready for this long holiday weekend that we've got coming on, but you saw Beyonce last week.
Oh, I did see Beyonce.
How was the concert? I've been meaning to ask you.
Y'all, so this is the thing about getting old. So I just realized, like, I'm just older, you know. So I went to the Beyonce concert last Thursday with my family, which is my children, right? So as you guys know, I have adult children, 31 and 25. I went with them, and I went with my grandbaby because my grandbaby's 9 and she wanted to see it. So we get dressed up in our cowgirl hats, and we head to Chicago. But in order for me to go see Beyonce on a Thursday at 7 p.m., because I can never stop working because of timelines, I had to go to Chicago the night before, get a hotel so I can work all day Thursday so I wouldn't be in traffic, right? Traveling in the middle of the day is too much for me. So I had to pay for a hotel to do that, right? And then all my kids had to come with me. And then I worked all the way up until like 4:30. So I had to hurry up and take a shower. And then we had to leave by 6. Concert starts at 7. We decided to take an Uber, a terrible idea. Never take an Uber into that stadium. What do we call it? Brewer Stadium? No, it's not Brewers. That's Milwaukee. What do we call it?
Was it a United?
No.
Is it Wrigley?
No.
Was it at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field.
Okay, I would have got there eventually.
Never take the Uber.
No, Soldier Field is terrible to get to.
It was the worst.
It's so bad.
Oh my God.
They're moving their stadium.
Are they?
The Bears are moving, it sounds like. I saw something this past week about...
Well, good. I hope they get a dome. Probably not. I don't know because I don't like the cold and I don't like the wind.
But it's not... Are you a Bears fan?
Yes.
Oh, no! Brandi! Oh.
I'm one of those Bears fans that only knew football through growing up in the 80s and growing up in Chicago.
That's fair.
So I don't know any other teams.
Yeah,
so
product
I'm
of the times.
Product of the time. And they have not won yet, but I'm still a fan.
I was going to say, they haven't been good since the 80s, but no, I'm teasing. They almost won that Super Bowl in the early 2000s.
Almost. You know, loyalty is my thing.
I think there's going to be a dump. I think
that would be dope.
I think they're trying to frame it off of the one that they just built in L.A.
Okay, I know about it.
All of these new stadiums are like giant palaces. They cost so much money. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Taxpayers end up paying for most of it, and it's just... Why?
But we'd rather pay for that than healthcare and education.
I'm saying why? Why is that where our priorities are? Those are the nice things.
If you do
the things you're supposed to do, like take care of your people, then you can have nice things.
I agree. I mean, that would make common sense, but we do live in the Trump era. So
that
common sense has been thrown out. And, you know, hopefully we get to it someday. But the Beyonce, the worst thing about this stadium, so you tune into Black Conversion Show. We're talking about my experience seeing Beyonce last week. So not only was I tired, because I've worked and traveled all day, but we get there at like 6:30. We Uber. Terrible idea. Never Uber to the stadium. Okay, you guys. We Uber. We get there. There's a storm. There's a thunderstorm. There's a tornado watch. So the concert is delayed for like 3.5 hours.
What?
No one can be in their seats because of the wind. So everybody's like underneath
in the concourse.
Again, there's no dome.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So we're waiting in cowgirl boots. Right? My feet hurt, and they want $20 a drink. I'm not spending $20 on a watered-down margarita. And then I learned, like, girl, you should have snuck you in a flask in your boob because they didn't check. Like, why didn't I do that? I do that when I go to the movie theaters, right? I got my popcorn, my little snacky snack.
They check every day, everywhere these days.
They did not check the boobs, okay? Because my daughter got a couple things in, but she didn't tell me the protocol because, again, I don't even go to concerts. So by the time we get, you know, I'm sitting down, trying to sit down, they're telling you can't sit down. There's winds, there's storms. My poor grandbaby's tired. My feet is hurting. At this point, if I wasn't with my children, I would have left and went back to the hotel because I love Beyonce, but girl, I can see you on TV. Like, this is too much for me. Okay? So then at like 10 o'clock, they say, okay, everybody can go back into the stadium, but then it takes us an hour to get seated. Exhausted.
Yeah, that's chaos. So what time do the concert start then?
Like 10:30, 10:45.
Oh my goodness.
And then it got over at like 1, and then my kids wanted to stay to the very end, which means that we were leaving with all the traffic, and then there's thousands of people walking, and then they lead you for like 10 miles, and you got
to
go all
the way. I was going to say, well, that's the downside. If you don't Uber and you have to walk, the walk is also a pain in the butt. There's no easy way to get to that venue.
Well, you Ubered, so they don't let the Ubers come in a stadium, like a mile or two in the when there's concerts. They can't come there, so you have to walk miles. Yeah. So we're being herded like cattle. It was not a good experience, yeah. Luke. Like, I was like, who does this to go see people?
See, well, the last time I was at Soldier Field was for a Packer Bears game.
Is that? Oh, yeah.
And the Packers won. So.
You were drunk, though. Yeah, see, I wasn't drunk.
I don't think I was drunk.
You should have been.
I was inebriated. Okay. I was buzzed, maybe. I had a few beers.
See, I had nothing.
Okay.
But a sore feet.
Yeah, and yeah, well, you don't want those watered down margaritas.
Right, because I was like, I'm going to get full and I'm going to spend $100. Now my stomach going to hurt. Then I'm going to have to pee and I'm going to have to go use that bathroom. So being 40 something makes you think about things that I probably wouldn't have cared about at 20 something. It was just hard. However, again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. Okay, but however, Beyonce snapped, except for I was in nosebleed seats, right? Dana Pelabon didn't tell me you're supposed to wait like a day or two to get the tickets, and you can get the same 200, you know, nosebleed tickets on the floor. So she shows up later, talking about, I'm on my way to Chicago.
She's down there. Oh.
She's right on the floor. And guess how much this woman spent for the ticket? $200. We spent $200, and we're way up on the third level. Beyonce looks like a little ant. I mean, she had nice screens so you could see her, but it was not the same.
A fabulous little ant, though.
A little fabulous.
Beyonce, very far away.
Beyonce is that girl. And then what was so amazing about the Beyonce show, y'all, though, was how Black it was. Now, you know how I am, but Black experiences, Black messages, Black empowerment, Black women doing their things. And Beyonce did all of that. She had all these videos that represented, like, and she was in the clips, but it represented Black history, Black music. She said things and symbols and things about get out of our house, the house of America really being built by Black people. I've read some people responses, Black women, and how we've been feeling like the American flag doesn't belong to us. And every time I, as a Black woman, see American flag on a white truck or a pickup truck, I think, oh Lord, he KKK, or flying in front of somebody's house, they KKK. I have this one neighbor, y'all, who, when our Black selves moved into their neighborhood, he put an American flag in back of his house. Girl, who is watching the back of your house except for us? There's like our backyards face each other and there's a lot of spaces, but as soon as our Black selves moved in, he put an American flag. I said, okay, he letting us know what he stand for. But in this whole, you know, artistry and creativity of Beyonce, it was like, let's take this flag back. Let's take our history back. We are the history. We are the folks who built this house. You need to get out the house. It was strong. It was Black. It was everything. I had white women sitting behind me. They were really confused. They were middle-aged white women, and they were quiet. They were confused. I said, yeah, girl, you missed the message, right? You don't even get the message. I understand, sis. But yeah, that was my experience. The concert was great, but the experience of getting to the concert and all that was too much for my old knees, okay? Whew, okay. Okay, now back to
it. It was a lot. It was an experience last week.
It was. Beyonce, we love you, sis. But until I can sit in box seats and afford that and be treated, sis,
you just got to do the last second buying the
like
tickets.
Like Dana, because you know Dana Pelabon, she always in somebody concerts or shows. She's just a professional. I don't go to concerts. I like to go to intimate settings with like a live band with 20, 50 people. That's my kind of space. But you know, you try things. I had a great experience with my children. So shout out to my babies for going and dealing with their old mommies or mommy. But back to how we're doing. Again, this is Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show. So that's my check-in. I am absolutely exhausted, y'all. For people who are following me and know what we do, I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, one of the best urban nonprofit organizations in Madison, Wisconsin, and in the Dane County area. And I say that with confidence. So you know you the best, and you know you're doing right when your haters are always following you and trolling you. Because the one thing I know about God is that when God gives you grace and gives you the skills and the talent to do something, the devil always try to distract you. And folks who aren't, you know, into spirituality, I get it, you know, but this is my thing. But I'm going to get into some more tea about one of my haters that follow me everywhere. And it's absolutely dangerous. So I want to talk about it out loud, but I'm not going to talk about other things out loud, because some of those things would give people power and make them think they matter, and they don't matter. But I do want to share a couple of things that have transpired again. If you listen to me, you know, like a few weeks ago, I was in tears. I was angry. I am not angry today. I'm exhausted because of my work with the Black Brilliance Gala. Oh my goodness, y'all. This whole thing is a lot. My bones are tired. But I do want to share with you guys because I think it's important for us to recognize how dangerous it is for Black leadership and Black work and Black-centered work and what that looks like. And I think it's important to speak it out loud because this kind of stalkery, kind of harassment is on the borderline of psychopath. What do you call it? Sociopathic behavior. And I am feeling unsafe and I am feeling threatened at this point. So I'm going to speak it out loud just in case some, you know, how this works for Black people. You know, they did this to themselves. No, I am not depressed, angry, frustrated on that level. Life is good for me, except for I have this white dude in political spaces harassing everything I do, stalking me, follow me, and then trolling the people who support me. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. So we're going to get into that today. I always also want to speak on Trump. Trumpity dumpity, as always, stays in the news. But I just want to make some, you know, just some distinctions and talk about some analysis of Trump, especially around the South Africa, you know, debacle with him trying to protect white Africans from Black Africans. I said, this man just don't get enough for asking for a $400 million plane to just out here having, you know, hiring people like the, what's that girl named Secretary of Congress. She's talking about the Library of Congress. Girl, don't even know what a Library of Congress is. What is her name?
That is Caroline Leavitt.
Oh my God.
The White House press secretary.
The White House press secretary doesn't know what the Library of Congress is for. She thinks it's a library where people go and check out books. This girl has to be.
I mean, you can do that, but that's not his primary focus.
It's not a library like Mifflin Street and Madison Library. It's not like that, right?
There are aspects of the Library of Congress you can do. When I lived in D.C. for a summer, that was like one of the coolest experiences.
Going into the library.
Go into the library and like there are references and stuff, but that's mostly what it is.
Yes.
It's like you go and you see things and it's like a giant archive for the entire country.
Of like a museum for the country. That's what it's like, right? But her response to why DEI or why this Black lady was fired. What was it? The head librarian was fired by them. And she said, we fired her because she was allowing people to check out books that we didn't agree. Girl, what? That's not the primary focus of... Okay, so anyway, y'all. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we want to talk about our ancestors and what they've been up to in America, burning down plantations and knocking over museums. Okay, let's talk about the Black stuff that y'all like on the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. And of course, one of my favorite producers, but really my only favorite producer, Luke, my white boy. Okay, and we're going to talk about how Luke is going to get fly to attend our Black Brilliance Gala on the 31st of May. So I'm gonna tell y'all, so people be like, oh, we're anti-white. Watch this white boy get fly and represent. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss the tea with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I've ever
made in my life. You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Okay, we got Lil Beyonce. Okay, I was worried about you, Luke, in this music. Welcome back to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, with the blackiness, the black topics and conversations. Okay, the girl you love to hate but love to watch. I know, I just got it like that. So prior to break, we were talking about the gala. Urban Triage Black Brilliance Gala is on May 31st, 6 p.m. at the Overture Center of the Arts. I mean, when I say our last year gala was lit, I just want to also give the Overture staff a shout out. I love the Overture staff. They are on it. They are just amazing people, specifically Kelsey. Girl, I love you because I be making last minute changes, OCD, be asking all kind of questions, and Kelsey be right there responding. I appreciate you. And can we also shout out Megan and the caterers? The food is always delicious. So what I can say to you, you will not be experiencing hotel dry chicken at the Overture Center. They do not play about their food, and that's why we continue to use them as a vendor. And I just can't wait because when you walk walk in to the Overture Center on May 31st. It's going to be like a play. We got this whole gobo lightning show at the beginning. When I say we fancy, it is fancy. You do not want to miss this. Now, the purpose of the Black Brilliance Gala is to honor and celebrate unsung heroes in our community. Shout out to John Adams, who is the co-founder of Catalyst for Change, which is another nonprofit organization centered in housing and supporting those who are homeless and experiencing chronic homelessness. He will be honored. We have Renee Reed. She will be honored. She works, I can't remember what she does, but she's a doula. She's a social justice activist. She's a feminist. She's have done housing work. They both will be honored. They was nominated for our Housing Advocate Caretaker Award. I can't remember the exact name, but I am so excited to honor Pastor Marcus Allen of Mount Zion Baptist Church, who has been nominated for Nonprofit of Excellence, and also Pastor G, who's also the pastor of Fountain of Life, and his organization, Nehemiah, has been also nominated for Nonprofit of Excellence. It is going to be a show. We are honoring youth in our communities doing the work. It's going to be a celebration. We have so much entertainment. When I say Urban Triage's gala is the best in the county, I would even say the state. I'm saying it because I'm organizing and I'm exhausted, but I'm also saying it because I know. Like last year, people were so blown by the experience. If you would like to come, purchase tickets at urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org. Tickets are $175. It is a fundraiser. You get a full course meal, salad, dessert. You also get hors d'oeuvres served to you at the beginning. You get two bottles of wine on your table and pizza at the end of the night. Because we know you're going to be drunk. We want you to absorb all of that because we don't want no problems when you going home. Madison Police ain't going to have me on Cap Times talking about she got these people drunk and now they in trouble. Okay.
Covering your bases. Good.
Cover your bases. Yep, smart. So you would be well fed and well entertained. And you can't get that for $175. I mean, I go out to eat and I spend $175 by myself. And yes, I do like lobster. I know that makes some of y'all mad, but get over it. Okay, so come join us at Black Brilliance Gala, May 31st. I can't wait to celebrate with y'all. So moving on. So Brandi Grayson is exhausted. We have audits, single audits happening right now. Hiring happening. Dane County Human Services has 12 grants to do. So if you're a nonprofit, check out their RFP page. But Urban Triage wants to write for six of them, and we're organizing at the same time for our gala, which means that I'm editing, writing, or project managing, and then we got staff stuff. We got girl, boy, all y'all, my world is not what you think it is. And okay, so right now I want to share with y'all a little tea since we're talking about the world of Brandi Grayson, the blackest woman in Madison that y'all love to hate. So we're going to talk. We got a couple minutes. So I want to share some tea. Nino Amato. Nino Amato is a white dude who ran for city council who has been harassing me as an individual in Urban Triage for over the last 2 years. Every week or so, he sends an email making claims. He sends an email. He doesn't send it to me. He sends it to the Dane County Supervisors, Common Council, Melissa Agard, which is our new Dane County exec, and her team. He sends it to journalists. He sends these same messages over and over again, and basically is saying that Urban Triage, we have over the last 5 years received in contracts from Dane County Human Services over $32 million. And in these contracts, Urban Triage is required to comply with audits, single audits, monitoring reviews, open records requests. We're required to meet with our contract managers every week. We're required to submit invoices, receipts. We're required to do a lot to maintain this. And currently, our CPA is Koloff, and we have a team of five accountants who meet with me every week to go over all our journal entries, receivables, all of our financial statements, all allocations and expenses. They do the reporting to our contractors. I review that. We meet. It's very heavy and a lot of reviewing, but I'm sharing that for context. So your boy Nino Amato ran for a city council and he finds time to harass me. And I want you to know, Nino Amato, that you are a scary white man in my world. You concern me. I don't know why you're so obsessed with me. What song is that? Why are you so obsessed with me? Dun, 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 dun. I don't have it, Luke.
I'll have to look into it. No, it's not ringing a bell from those bars. So I'll have to look.
Why are you so obsessed? Okay, that didn't ring a bell. That's fine. So I'm going to read to you guys a couple of allegations he's making in this email. He says, documented concerns regarding Urban Triage CEO, includes a salary increase. Okay, yes, I started in 2019, started at $75,000. Now I'm making over $200,000. He's saying, why is that happening? So I just want to acknowledge that Urban Triage followed every federal and state requirement to give me a raise, because we have a director board. They have to approve all the raises. They have to do these research, reporting, analysis. They hired someone to tell them how much I should be paid. They had the vote on it. So Nino, poor boo-boo, that has nothing to do with my contracts. Another thing he says is employment of family members. Hey, Nino, this is a Black-led organization that started as grassroots, so I can only hire family when I started, because they're the only people that will work for free. Did you expect me to fire my family once we got on? And just for transparency, we do have internal controls around nepotisms. So anything that's relating to people that are my family, and just so you know, I only have one family member working with me. That is my daughter. She's an operations manager. She's been with me since the start of Urban Triage. I did have to fire her, though, early on, but we'll get into that later, only because we didn't have the money to pay her. So then she came back. So that's how that happened. But it's not illegal to have family members work for you, FYI, Nino, but we do have an internal policy. That's what we're required to have. And then they said, all expenses paid, retreat to Puerto Rico. I just want you to know, you know, Nino Amato and other people that's listening, we do have supporters. Like, we have people who support what we do. And as long as we're not tapping into government funds to do the things we do, we're compliant. And you have never found that. Our audits have never found anything of that matter. And then he says, questionable travel expenses to cities like New York, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Washington, D.C. For clarity, I did go to New York. I went to New York for Momentum personal leadership training. Urban Triage is allowed to cover my expenses for training and conferences. I've never in my life been to San Francisco, but I would love to go to San Francisco, Nino. So if you would like to take me, I'll be happy to go with you, but maybe not, because you're a stalker and you're probably crazy. And I just also want you to know that, you know, I do own a gun, Nino, because I ain't playing with you, because something is really wrong with you. Also, I've been to New Orleans for a conference. It was a wonderful experience. And Nino, I've never been to Washington, D.C. in my life, but I also would love to go there. So if you would like to pay me to go there, I would love to do that. So I just want to go over, you guys, in a couple minutes, a couple other things he said. But this is Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show, and I'm sharing this out loud because this man is sick. But we're also going to talk about Trump. And next, I'm going to play KRS-One, This Brother is Bad. And we're going to get into why people who speak truth to power are the most threats or threatening in a system of white supremacy. Stay tuned to your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. Be back in a jiff. Okay, Luke. See, I knew I liked you. Welcome to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. Hey. Ooh, it makes me want to clap my fingers by myself. And I'm standing up today, y'all, because I'm so tired. I'm afraid that if I sit down in the studio, I might fall out. Okay. Thank you for listening. Prior to break, we were just talking about additional harassment of me as an individual and Black woman leader in Madison, Wisconsin, in the Dane County area. There's other threats made by other people this week, and specifically related to our Black Brilliance Gala. People are really upset and bothered that we're having a celebration of Black unsung heroes in Dane County, and that is called Black Brilliance. I don't know why people are so bothered by the word Black, but we do know, but I don't have time to break that down to you today. But prior to the break, I was sharing how Nino Amato, who is in his email, in his title, he says, I am a founder chapter of NAACP. Crazy. He's a former vice chair. You see how white folks can sit in Black spaces and lead Black spaces and be racist and be stalkish. And it's crazy how many Black people probably communicate with this man. And no one, I'm not going to say no one, but I'm going to ask that people that know him, check him, because the harassment is ridiculous. And if you want to know why, ask me. He was Opportunities Commission and City Auditor. He was an audit committee chair and board member, Wisconsin Analyst Alliance of retired Americans, board member and former president and coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health. These are your people. He was a former member of UW Regents and UW Hospital. That's some sick stuff, the way that he harasses me. I want y'all to know that. So prior to break, I was explaining how the things that he's sending is to people is untrue. Another allegation that he makes in his email to folks is that basically we have spent money that we have no receipts for. There's no way that we never have receipts. We have receipts for every dollar that we spend, you know. It just doesn't work like that. We are contract managed and we are supervised on every aspect. So again, I'm sharing this with y'all because this white man harasses me all the time. And I just want to say, Nino, you can't touch me. You can't touch Urban Triage. You actually can't touch people that are graced by and ordained by God. I'm sorry. It just sucks that you have to be outside of the grace of what my life is and be so bothered by it. I can't even believe you got that much time. So we're going to move on. What I want to move on to in our show on the Black Conversion Show today on 92.7 FM is KRS-One. This is one brother that always speaks truth to power. He is the grandfather of hip hop. And this is when hip hop had a message, when it was about education, when it was about empowerment, when this was about inspiration. But now he's a teacher. He taught through poetry and art before and rap, and now he teaches through education, coaching, leadership, conferences, books, and all those things. I want us to take a listen to this clip. And Luke, what I'm going to have you do is play it on and off. The clip is probably about 6 minutes. We probably won't get through the whole clip, but I want us to really listen to what this brother is saying. Let's start, Luke. Thank you.
To speak in truth, more people would. The true human resource is the mind. Mm. We never lost our lands. We lost our minds. We never lost land. The land is still there. We don't have the mind to go get it.
We didn't lose our land. We lost our mind.
What we are discussing is not in books. Knowledge like this, awareness like this, comes from within. Trust your ancestors. Mm. You have to become your ancestors in order to know them. So you continue Garvey in order to know him.
Wow.
There's a saying that says that in a society that is based on lies, you can do anything. So yeah, we're in a situation where the simplest things like peace, love, unity, joy, simple stuff.
Simple. Easy concepts that everyone wants.
That everyone wants and understands. You can't have it in a colonial situation. In fact, colonialism is, its presence is stepping on those things.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we can't have that. But now, you mentioned God. Anything.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but I said, so let's pause it real quick before he gets into the conversation about God. So what KRS-One is saying is because of, when you say colonialism, we're really talking about white supremacy, racism. Interchange it as you please. And he's basically saying we didn't lose our land. We lost our minds. We literally have lost our minds. And what I understand that to mean is that we have been disconnected from ourselves. So there's oftentimes we forget that even though someone can capture your body, they can say they enslave you. If you're not able to critically think, if you're not able to connect the dots, if you're not able to find joy, if you're not able to find the joy and happiness within you, inside of you, then it's hard to be healthy mentally, physically, or spiritually and emotionally. And oftentimes we experience dis-ease, which is disease in our minds, our body, and our spirits. So one thing KRS-One talks about is the danger of speaking truth to power and how those folks who speak truth to power, who speaks unapologetically about their thoughts, about their feelings, about their analysis, about their world, that type of way of being is a threat to the system of colonialization or the threat to the system of white supremacy, because white supremacy requires you to be outside of yourself. It requires you to fall in line. It requires you to do what the system or the institution tells you to do. For example, if we go back to how our schools are structured and how our schools often fail children known as Black, academically, emotionally, spiritually, all that, because the school requires them, especially our Black boys, to be a certain way. It requires them to sit still. It requires them to follow in line. It requires them to not speak out of turn. It requires them not to question or ask why or how. It actually requires them not to be so smart, because the one thing you realize about smart children, and I realize about myself as an adult, and yes, I find myself to be pretty smart. I don't know if you know that, but I'm a pretty smart cookie. But anyway, what happened as a child? I was always in trouble, y'all. Brandi Grayson was always in trouble. Why? Because I was asking why, how. How does it work like that? Why should I stand here? Why are you asking me that? Why would you say that? What does that mean? And what does that do to a system when you question it? It forces it to provide answers, or it forces it to silence you. And that is the system of white supremacy, because you're forced to be quiet in these systems. So for our boys who are, in, you know, rambunctious, active, it shrinks them. And if you're told every day, be quiet, sit still, what you're saying isn't good enough, you're not fitting expectations, you're basically telling them that they don't fit the mold and they're abnormal. And what we know about children and adults, when you feel like you don't belong, it really does impact your psyche. It impacts your nervous system. So anyway, that's my interpretation of KRS-1. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I'm going to go back to the clip because I want to continue to break this down. And I'm going to connect it to Trump, because that's what we're going to talk about next, because it's really important for us to start building the connection of how we got to a Trump and how we live in a society like in period, city, Dane County, where Black women, Black people can be harassed, and our success and my ability as an individual to speak truth to power and to be authentic gets into the skin of a lot of people. Go ahead for me, Luke.
Your nature. Is your nature God? Yeah, my nature's God. So here's the poison. We want you to take this.
You right on top of it. I see
so
where you're going.
God takes your poison in the mouth, God. But guess what comes out? The cure.
Cure.
So the question then becomes, first, what kind of person are you? Are you a God or are you a demon? Our ancestors used the word demon. D-man. To not man. Man is man.
Right.
To a not man is a demon.
To take the humanity out
of you. To not be human.
Right.
That's the demon. The demon. This idea of calling a Black human being a slave is the crime to begin with.
Indeed.
This is the first crime. No Black human beings in the past were slaves. That is a white colonial racist designation for our parents. Our parents could never be slaves. They were skilled laborers. They were the ones that came here and planted the rice, planted the corn, planted the tobacco, planted the weed, the marijuana, built the roads. We came over as architects. We came over as astronomers.
Skilled laborers.
We were never slaves. Never, ever. That word is what is placed on us.
All right, Luke, let's stop there for a second. So again, to folks who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, and we're building analysis, right? Because I'm going to connect it to Trump and what's happening in our world in 1 second. So KRS-One is talking about the nature of human being the nature of God. And I'm not going to build analysis around that yet. Put a pin there. We'll come back. What he is saying is that our brains, we have lost our minds because we have been fed poison. And poison is fed to us through words, to what we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we eat, what we experience, what we touch. And if you ever join urban triage work groups, this is what we talk about. This is what we learn. We teach people known as Black and our co-conspirators ways to navigate through the context of white supremacy and build an analysis so that we can be better people to our families, to our communities, and that we can understand how to remember, how to get back to who we are, right? And we'll get into that later. But what he is saying is that when you take, we take the poison, we take the messages of being inferior, we take the messages of you have to fit in, you have to sit still, you can't question this, you can't question that, you just have to believe whatever I tell you. If it's a tradition, you just do it. If you go to church, you just believe whatever they tell you, you don't ask why, you don't read other books, right? But what happens, what makes people known as Black so great and magnificent, they feed us poison. But our history, in our history, we have come out with the cure. Do you ever wonder why people known as Black have been able to survive what we've survived and still have joy? And our joy when we're out and about in a community drive white people crazy. Like, it literally drives us crazy. If you Black, you know, you can rock with me. You know what I'm saying? You out in public, you laughing, you at, you and you somewhere having brunch, you having a good time. Hee hee ha ha, girl. Yeah. Guess what happened last week? There's going to be somebody not Black walk up to you and get in your business. That's where we got the Karens from, right? You see my earrings for my people on Facebook? That's where Karens come from. They got to get into your space because they are bothered by your joy. But the thing about the poison that we swallow all the time, the messages, we often produce the cure. Okay, another example. You know how when back in the day when our bodies were enslaved and it messed up our mind, the food that we was given was the least of the pig, like intestines and all of that. What Black people do? Luke, what Black people do with them intestines? What we do?
Made them delicious.
We made them delicious, Luke. We came up with the cure and we lived a long, long time. And not only did we have the cure, we became the doctors for our slave masters. Right? They would come to us. They would put their babies on our breasts, right? Because our milk was known to be the healing milk. We come up with the cure, y'all. And the thing about the words and the things that we take in, and the thing about Trump, I'm going to connect it for y'all. I'm going to connect it. Taking words from DEI, taking words from federal government, Black, brilliant, trans, intersectionality, gay, LGBTQ, trans person, removing pronouns, all of that is because when you know, it awakens something in you. It widens your consciousness when you understand that people have the right to self-actualize. But when you remove history, when you remove the language, it dehumanizes you. And when you dehumanize by the society around you, you become a demon. Demon equals, like KRS said, the humanity removed from you. So what we are experiencing right now in our country, in our nation, what we're experiencing locally as a Black woman trying to leave a revolutionary, innovative organization is dehumanized people, aka demonic people, creating policies, saying that we're trying to ship immigrants away, right? Or take people that's not an American citizen away. I was talking to someone local who's a local business person. I'm not going to share her name, but she was adopted. So technically she can't prove her citizenship because she was adopted from another country. So she doesn't have nationalization. What you call the paperwork? Nationalization paperwork?
Naturalization, yeah.
She don't have it. So she can't actually obtain a true ID. These are people, and there's tons of people in our country that was adopted from other countries, y'all. I'm going to stay tuned. We're going to get back into this demonic stuff in a minute and the dehumanization of all of us, including white people, here on Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You don't want to miss this tea. Come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, it is your girl, Brandi Grayson, also known as BG, okay? Here on 92.7M, the Black Conversion Show. Prior to break, we were talking about the dehumanization of people through the system of white supremacy. We were listening to KRS-One, a teacher, a preacher, and all that good stuff. Look them up. And if you missed the prior conversation, you know, check out the podcast on Civic Media. Check me out on Facebook because it may not make sense what I'm going to say next without that connection or context. So one of the things he had talked about is that being in the system of white supremacy, it feeds you poison. And when you're fed poison, you have to ask yourself, do you want to be a demon or do you want to align with the nature of who you are, which is God, right? And we can you know, talk about that and argue about that later. But what he also says is that when we're fed poison through what we hear, see, and the words that we speak. One of the things that he says is that we have been labeled people as black as slaves. And when you label people as slaves, you dehumanize them because you remove who their attributes into the of the world. Kind of like what Beyonce was saying in her messaging in her concert, which was, we built this world. Like, we built this, right? We were not slaves. We were skilled laborers. We planted marijuana. We planted cotton. We planted tobacco. We planted food. And then we farmed the land. And not only did we farm the land, we created equipment to make farming the land more efficient. And the one thing we do know is that we may not have made the money off the equipment because, you know, being in the system of white supremacy, the one thing people often say is back then white people didn't do the work, but they owned the patent company, right? And they patented the equipment that was often created through black intellect and work, right? And if we don't get back to getting our minds right and understanding the poison that's being given to us, then we become demonic. We become dehumanized. And that's what demonic means. It means the removal of your human attributes. And if you study post-traumatic slave syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGroy, please look her up. And this is what we teach at Urban Triage and all of our transformative education, is if you, because of slavery, what it has done and the impact of slavery on people known as white is that it has caused them to be dehumanized. They can see a black person suffering. They can see a black body burning and not have empathy for it. But if they see a dog being stumped, they would feel so much remorse and want that person to suffer. And we know this to be true because you can see it in our news all the time. I know some of the conversation is uncomfortable for you, and I'm not saying that you need to believe this, but it's really I want you to get into discovery of how do we get to a nation of Trump? How do we get to a nation where we're packing up our citizens and threatening to send them away? People who have been born here, lived here their whole life because they cannot get a true ID. And they can't get a true ID for a lot of reasons, y'all. This is not okay. This is what demonic natures look like. So also back to my favorite stalker, Nino Amanto, part of something that he said in that email was that Urban Triage, all our funds and programming should be frozen with no, just based on allegations, no truth, unfounded. And this is how you know it's demonic. Do you know how many people we serve? How many people we house? How many bills we pay? How many programs would people would be affected if Urban Triage just was frozen? That's what demonic means, because you don't even care about the people we serve. You don't even have an idea of our impact. And even if you do, you don't care because you're just trying to be right, which is white, right? Like, this is what Trump looks like. And like, sitting with the South American president, let's go ahead and play this clip real quick, and like, trying to dehumanize him and listen to the words of Trump as he speaks to the South African president.
Do you feel that maybe the economy could collapse? You may not have a gap to fill in those people that need to replace those farmers.
You know, I'd like my Minister of Agriculture, who is white, who comes from an opposition party to mine, who's joined my government at my invitation to address some this very issue, including the question that you've just raised. John?
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Mr. President, thank you for welcoming us to the White House. I would say we have a rural safety problem in South Africa. I don't think anyone wants to candy coat that. And it requires a lot of effort to get on top of it. It's going to require more policing resources. It's going to require a different strategy to be able to deal with it. But certainly the majority of South Africa's commercial and smallholder farmers really do want to stay in South Africa and make it work. And I've just come from the largest agricultural show in the Southern Hemisphere with organized agriculture and farmers, and the majority of them want to stay. But they too there have a memorial to those who've died as a result of farm attacks. And as the Minister of Agriculture, it is something that I'm particularly exercised with my colleagues at police and my colleagues in the justice cluster to start making farm attacks and stock theft a priority crime. And it affects all farmers in South Africa, particularly stock theft. It has a disproportionate effect on smallholder black farmers. I also want to just say this, that the two individuals that are in that video that you've seen are both leaders of opposition minority parties in South Africa, Nkonto Wesizwe under Mr. Zuma and the Economic Freedom Fighters under Mr. Malema. Now, the reason that my party, the Democratic Alliance, which has been an opposition party for over 30 years, chose to join hands with Mr. Ramaphosa's party was precisely to keep those people out of power. We cannot have those people sitting in the union buildings making decisions. And that is why after 30 years of us exchanging barbs across the floor in Parliament and trying to get one over on each other, we've decided to join hands precisely to keep that lot out of government. Because the day they get in to the doors of the union buildings in South Africa or control of our Parliament, that's what you're going to see. And that is why this government, working together, needs the support of our allies around the world so that we can strengthen our hand, grow our economy, and shut the door forever on that rabble getting through the doors of the union bodies, because then South Africa's future...
You can stop the recording, Luke. So what you just heard was the agriculture director for South Africa. I don't know their correct titles. And what we didn't get to in the message was Trump response. So just for context, he's in the meeting with South African president. He's basically saying we need to save the white South Africans because he played a video of two rebellion groups, people fighting, and then robbing white farmers. And this is one video, right? And basically, he's using this as his basis to say we need to save South African immigrants, bring them over here, make them refugees of America. I don't know how that works with refugees, but bring them here and protect them. So he wants to protect the white people from South Africa based on something that's not really an issue. And as you continue in that conversation, what you discover is that the people that's actually most impacted by the rebels and the conflict are black farmers. So he wants to save the white farmers of South Africa, but he wants to negate what's really going on. So I didn't really give you a good clip, and I acknowledge that and apologize. I probably was just rushing, but we will have this conversation later because I think it's very important. But I want to connect that back to what demonic looks like. Demonic looks like removing the ability to see people known as black, our immigrants, our brown people, our people with disabilities, our LGBTQIA people, people who are most vulnerable as people. So we do things and say things to harm them, just like we do in the city of Madison and Dane County. And I, for one, as a leader, Brandi Grayson, will not stand for it. And I will continue to speak truth to power. This is it for me today. I'll see you next week on the Black Conversion Show, and we'll do some more demonic discovery of why we have a Trump nation. And I'll try to do better to connect that dot for you if you missed it this time around. Peace, love, and hair grease from your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. Until next time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.